Just a couple things from yesterday. Almost everything went right yesterday, except a couple of things that went wrong. We left off with two questions yesterday, and number one is, I had this whole long spiel about Jehoiachaz here that was such a big rasha, and I said that the Navi told him he's going to die like a chamar, and then he didn't end up dying like that. The next king died like that. Well, somehow, when I wrote it down in my notes, I wrote down the wrong king. So that's the answer to that question. Jehoiachaz was the king for 3 months, and he just went and started up with Mitzrayim to avenge his father's death, and he got killed. That was the end of him. The king that did all those averis that we said, the shatnez and the tattooing and the znus, and the being mizana with his mother, and etc., etc., that was the next king, which was Jehoiachin. He was king for much longer, as he was a servant of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was sending those years that he was sending in the taxes. So he was the one, and all the Nebuahs with Yirmiyahu HaNavi were all Jehoiachin, not Jehoiachaz. And Jehoiachin, as we said yesterday at the end, actually did die on his way there on the side of the road, and they just left him over there. Jehoiachin. Yeah. That's what we said yesterday. So that was a key of that Nebuah. So those was not, all those stories were not with Jehoiachaz, they were with Jehoiachin. That's a different person, Jehoiachin, yeah. That answers question number one, that it was the wrong person. Question number two, that Baruch had yesterday, also, similar answer, and that is, Chizkiah was married to Yeshaya's daughter, not Yirmiyahu's daughter. Right? It was my fault because I said it the wrong way. But Chizkiah was married to Yeshaya's daughter. This was Bas Yirmiyahu, so it wasn't Yirmiyahu, it was Yeshaya. So that answers that question, easy answer to both of these questions. Now, just for yesterday also, I forgot to say something, and that is when Yoshiyahu was killed, remember Yoshiyahu said, V'cherev lei savar ba'artzichem, and he thought he wouldn't let Paray to come through, Paranechei. And so when he was killed, now it's interesting. In Divrei Hayamim it says that that the Mitzudah says over there that when it says he didn't listen to the Navi, he didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. In the Gemara, I looked up the Gemara is in a couple places, but one place in Masechta Tainis, the Gemara says over there that he didn't ask Yirmiyahu what to do. Not that he didn't listen to Yirmiyahu, he didn't ask Yirmiyahu what to do. And it sounds like from the Mefarshim that the Nevuah not to go really came from Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu gave a Nevuah not to go. However, I don't know if he didn't know about the Nevuah, he ignored it, I don't know exactly what to do with that, but the Gemara says he should have at least asked Yirmiyahu an Eitzah. And that he didn't ask him an Eitzah. The Mitzudah says he didn't listen. The Mitzudah says. The Gemara sounds like Yirmiyahu didn't tell him any Nevuah, just the tie on him was he didn't ask an Eitzah from Yirmiyahu. Now, what happened was, after he was shot, the Gemara says that they saw him mumbling some words. And they were chayshed that he was having kindness on Hashem, that I was such a tzaddik and did so much for Klal Yisrael, and this is my end. My end is that he was pierced with so many spears. Klal, everyone's on. Yirmiyahu HaNavi bent down to listen to what he was saying, and he heard him saying, "Tzaddik hu Hashem, kifiu marisi." Apostle Ganecha. Tzaddik hu Hashem. Hashem is a tzaddik. Kifiu marisi, because I rebelled against him, meaning because I didn't follow the instructions, whether it means I didn't listen to Yeshayahu, I didn't ask Yirmiyahu, whatever it was, I didn't go in the proper way. He was actually not having tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was being matzdik olav esadin, he was saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and then Yirmiyahu heard that. He said, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, that's the passage you mentioned yesterday. He said that this Yeshayahu is such a tzaddik that even in his last moments, all he's doing is saying that Hashem is a tzaddik and it's my fault. So that's when he said this kino of Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, this is such a tzaddik, the only way really he could have come to such an end was because of Klal Yisrael's chatoim. So that was really, that was another detail there in the story with Yoshio. Okay, now we are, it's yesterday we left off in Pasuk Yudalit, Parakav Dalit, in Pasuk Yudalit, that Yehoyachin, who was Yehoyachim's son, he was taken to Bavel. This is, and together with him came 10,000 Goylim, 10,000 people from Klal Yisrael, the Charish and the Masker, which is the Talmid HaChamim, we said, and Chazal tell us, the Mefarshim say, not only was Talmid HaChamim there, they set up yeshivas immediately from Golus Yehoyachin, that when Klal Yisrael came into Golus, already the Torah had been transplanted and had been waiting for them there. Mesiris HaTorah continued. Pasuk Tezvaz, Vayegel es Yehoyachin Bavela, so Yehoyachin went into Golus, he brought him to Bavel, Ves Eim HaMelech and his mother, Ves Neshei HaMelech, Ves Arisov, Ves Eilei HaAretz, Hailech Goylom, Yerushalayim Bavela, and all the strong people of the land, were all the Sarim, all the officers, all the Chashuva people were brought to Bavel in this Golus. Ves Kolan Sheachayel Shivas Alofim, and the soldiers, 7,000 of them, Vacharish Bamaskar Elef, 1,000 Tamid Chachamim, Hakol Gibar Maisa Muchama, Vayivam Melech Bavel Gaila Bavala, and he brought them Golus Bavel. So we had Yoachim went the first, and that's when went to Neil and Hanan and Shal Vazari, very small amounts. A couple months later, Vachanetz had Charata, and he brought, then took the son Yehoyachin. He went there, laid siege to Yerushalayim. Yehoyachin came out, he took him. This is really the first major Golus, the third Golus, we call it Golus Yehoyachin, Golus Yehoyachin, but this is really on a large scale, the Golus here, and all the Talmid HaChamim. And he brought them to Bavel, and we'll see later what happened to Yehoyachin in Bavel. Vayamlech Melech Bavel's Matanya Doide Tachtov. So he made Matanya the king, Doide, the uncle of Yehoyachin, Vayasa Veshemai Tzidkiyo. And he called his name Tzidkiyo. Why did he call his name Tzidkiyo? So here, so we know already he changed his names to show he's in charge. But here, Chazal say, Rashi brings down, Koyatzik Alechas Adin Im Tamerbi. If you try to rebel, Hashem's going to take care of you. But he probably didn't really mean Hashem. He probably meant to say, I'll take care of you. So basically, he was giving him a warning, don't try to rebel. Tzidkiyo was 21, and he was the Melech for 11 years. He's going to be the Melech till the Korban. So from Golus Yehoyachin till the Korban is going to be 11 years. V'sheinimai Chamuta Bat Yirmiyah Milivna, and his mother was Chamuta Bat Yirmiyah because he was the same one. He was brothers with Yehoyachin. Yeah?
I'm sorry, I don't think
that
his name shows
that. Tzidkiyo. Kol Yatzdik Alecha Sadin. Right?
Oh, correct.
Vayasa Ra Beni Hashem, so it says he did the Ra Beni Hashem, Kikola Shirosu Yehoyachin. Just look Yehoyachin. Now, Chazal tell us this is not true. Chazal tell us Tzidkiyo was a tzaddik. But the people that were left were Rishoyim. His door was a Rasha. Tzidkiyo made a couple of mistakes, but you can't say he was Rabbi Nashem Kechol HaShasa Yoyakim. The reason why the Korban happened is because the generation was Ra. As we'll see, he made a couple of mistakes, and that's what we call Vayasa Rabbi Nashem, which means to say that we're trying to show that there was no way for him to stop the Korban from happening. And it says why? Ki al af Hashem ois b'Yerushalayim of Yehuda, because Hashem's anger was there in Yerushalayim Yehuda, now this is a famous story. Tzidkiyo was the king, and he was, and Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar was mechabed him a lot. And one day Tzidkiyo came to the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar he wants to show his gevura, and he grabbed a little rabbit, right, that was flying by, that was jumping by, and he tore it apart and he ate it alive, or whatever he did. And Tzidkiyo couldn't believe that Zarius, and Nebuchadnezzar made him make a shvua that he'll never tell anyone what he saw.
Why?
He didn't want people to know.
Did he eat a rabbit?
that he took it alive and he ate it was too much achzarius for him to know. Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible, terrible, he's a short little guy, about like 1 foot tall. He's very small, 2 feet tall, something like that. He's very short. He was an achzar. Chazal tell us that nobody smiled in the entire world when he ruled over the world. He ruled over the entire world. The schus, as we know, because he took those 3 steps, right, way back when they sent that message to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the letter, and he took it back because they put Hashem last, should have put Hashem first. He ruled over the entire world. He was Malach HaKol HaElam Kulay, and nobody smiled. Nobody smiled there. It's like, you know, if you think about it, like the KGB in Russia, you know, people are afraid to smile because you never know who's gonna report it. You know, it's the dogma, the same thing. That's what was the entire world. People were afraid to smile. When he came to Gehenim, the Rishoyim in Gehenim got nervous. They said, what's he coming here for? To make our lives miserable here? We had enough of him in the regular world. What do we need? That's how cruel and fierce he was. But for some reason, he didn't want people to know about this. Now, since Chizkiyahu HaMelech, what happened was, when he got back, later on, he had a whole cheshbon. He decided that he had charata. He made the shvua, and he wanted to figure out a way to be matir his shvua. So he went to the chachamim, and they figured out a way that he was able to, like ataras nadarim, to be matir the shvua. I'm gonna go into all the details on the halacha. Yeah.
Why would he be matir to make a shvua in the first place?
Might have probably chopped his head off. Yeah. What? Because he felt people should know. He felt people should know. If this is what the king is, he should know. So who cares? He doesn't want people to know. It's the right of the citizens to know. So, what happened was he was matir to shvua. He still didn't go around telling people, but I think the Medrash says the story was a lot of the other kings who were also under Nebuchadnezzar were jealous of Tzidkiyo's like special treatment. And they would always try to get him to, they would try to, you know, show him in a bad light. So they try to provoke him. So one time they're trying to provoke him about to speak about Nebuchadnezzar, and this came out of his mouth that he said a thing about this rabbit. So they immediately ran to Nebuchadnezzar and said, look, Tzidkiyahu is spreading rumors about you that you're a cruel and an evil person. So he didn't really mean to go and spread it, but this is what happened. So it says, Vayimrai Tzidkiyahu b'melech bavel. So he went back on his shvua and he rebelled against the melech bavel. So what happened? So Nebuchadnezzar got very angry. And in the 9th year of his kingdom, Machaydish Oasiri, in the 10th month, that's all Achaydish, the 10th of Teves. Teves is the 10th month of the year, from Nisan. Asara b'Teves, Ba'ad Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, Uvichol Chelei al Yerushalayim, Vayichan Aleah, and he came and he lay siege to Yerushalayim, Vayivno Aleah Doyek Saviv, and they made this, Doyek is this like wall around it, when they lay siege here. Batavir Bamatra Ashtayasri Shana Lamel Tzidkiyahu. So the city was in a siege until the 11th year of the king of Tzidkiyahu, which is a 3-year period. Yerushalayim was under siege for 3 years.
Start on
Asar B'Tavis was the siege began. Yeah, that's why we fast the Asar B'Tavis. That's the beginning of the downfall of Yerushalayim. B'tishal HaChodesh Vayetze Charav Va'ir V'layalechem La'amaretz. In the 9th of the month, so there was terrible famine and there was no food. It was terrible, all the different things, the tzaras that you read about during the siege of Yerushalayim, and then the people who had no food and eating their kids and etc. and dying, all happened during this time. Now, the pasuk goes over here, it's a bit out of order, but let's read the psukim. Vatibaka ha'ir, on the 9th of the month of Tammuz, so the city was broken through, Vatibaka ha'ir. The 9th of Tammuz is when they broke through the walls. Now, even though we fast on Shavasar b'Tammuz for breaking through the walls, there's a couple terus into that. Either that was the second Beis HaMikdash, and then the first Beis HaMikdash was actually the 9th of Tammuz. But we can't, Chazal didn't want us to fast both days, so since the last Korban was Shavasar b'Tammuz, and Shavasar b'Tammuz we fast for both, the 17th and the 9th. Others say that they made a mistake in the Cheshbon, and it was really, even though the Pasuk says the 9th, they thought it was the 9th, but it was really the 17th. There's other terutim how to get out of it. But the most simple terutz to understand is that in the first Beit HaMikdash it was in the 9th, and in the second Beit HaMikdash was on the 17th, and we passed the 17th for both of them. So the city was broken through. Asher al gan hamelech v'chastim al ir tzavi v'yelech derech ha'arava. So what happened was that they broke through the city, v'chalan sham al-chama, meaning in all the warriors. Then there's like a pause. Halayla, it's as if it says, and during the night, everyone started running, trying to run away. V'yelech derech ha'arava. So they all started running away from Yerushalayim. Now Rashi says over here, what does it mean? Derech Shar, the way of the gate, Veina Chamesayim, between the walls. So Rashi tells us a famous story that there was a tunnel that went from the house of Tzidkiyo all the way down to Yericho. And that was an escape passage out of Yerushalayim. Now, we have to remember, before we continue, there's a couple things that happened here in the middle. During this time, and this you may have learned about in Yirmiyah, but Yirmiyah Navi is here a whole time, especially in the years of the siege. He's telling Klal Yisrael that, listen, you got to do tshuva. Nobody really was paying attention to him. There were a lot of other Nevi'im that had problems. And there's a story the Medrash brings down that there was a Navi, Yirmiyah had said in Nevuah that Hashem is going to take all the Kalim and bring them to Bavel. All the Kalim, the Beis HaMikdash, are going to go to Bavel. And another Navi, Sheker, got up and said, no, it's only be for a short time and then it'll come back. And Yirmiyah Navi answered, Amen. I would hope that would happen, but it's not true. And the proof that it's not true is that you're going to die within this year, by the end of this year. And I forgot what the name of the Navi was. Anyone remember? I forgot. Anyways, meanwhile, he was very upset, and he told his son, Itaka ended up dying, and it was a whole story. He told his son, hide my death. He died the last day of the year. Told his son, hide my death till the next day, just to prove the Navi wrong. Meanwhile, he told his son, listen, make sure you take Nakama against Yirmiyah. So his grandson was one of the people in the soldiers in the army. And Yirmiyah HaNavi had enough of, this is really before the siege of Yerushalayim, or maybe it was, I'm not sure exactly when it was, but there were guards by the gates of Yerushalayim that they were checking, you know, just in case anyone's leaving, and if they're leaving, are they suspected of going to the armies of the enemy to do anything? So he decided, he saw Yirmiyahu HaNavi leaving Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu sort of had enough of Yerushalayim, and he was going to go back to his birthplace, which was somewhere else in Yehuda, and he was going to stay there. And on his way out, the grandson of this Navi Sheker saw him and decided this is his chance. So he said, oh, you're going to the Bavliim to make problems and this, and he threw him in jail. They threw him in a dungeon. And people weren't upset about it because most people hated Yirmiyahu anyways because he was telling them that if they don't do tshuva, they're all going to die. And no one was interested in hearing that. Tzidkiyo HaMelech had a private meeting with Yirmiyahu and he wanted to know what's going to happen. And Yirmiyahu told him, listen, you're going to go, you're going to be taken by Melech Bavel to Bavel. And then he told him, listen, why am I in this dungeon here? What did I ever do wrong to you? I never hurt you. So they put him in a regular jail cell. In the regular jail cell, he still kept on telling people that they're going to lose in the war and so on and so forth, and they better do tshuva. And people got fed up because the morale in the army was getting very low, because Yirmiyahu was saying, we're going to lose anyways. So finally they convinced Yirmiyahu to do whatever you want with Yirmiyahu. And they threw Yirmiyahu in a pit full of water, and they were hoping that he was going to die in there. But he didn't. Meanwhile, what ended up happening was that Tzidkiyo HaMelech at the end got him out of that pit. He had charata, and he got him out of that pit. And it was a big schus that he saved Yirmiyahu's life. But Yirmiyahu told him in eitz and said, listen, don't try to fight against the Bavel. Give yourself up. If you go out and give yourself up, you'll remain alive. And Tzidkiyahu says, I can't do that. It's too hard. They'll kill me, the people in the city, the people in Yerushalayim, the ones that are fighting. It's too much. So he told them, you're going to be punished because of that. So what happened was, fine, so that was the end of that. Yirmiyo was, I think, still in. I think he was still back in jail after that, I think. So now when it came to, they broke through the walls, so he had told them that part of the Nebuah was that you're going to be taken to Babel. And so here he was escaping through this underground passage from his palace all the way to Yericho, which is a pretty big distance. And Hashem made it that a deer was right there by the entrance of the, or the exit of where they're coming out of the cave, out of the tunnel in the cave. And there were some soldiers that were trying to chase this deer and hunt it. And right then, they got there, they saw Tzidkiyahu HaMelech emerging from the cave, and they captured him, and he was really a big prize, and they captured him, and they brought him to Melech Babel.
The hunters got him?
No, it was the soldiers that were hunting. Yeah, the soldiers. So that's what Pasuk Hei says, Vayirdfu Chalkasim Achar HaMelech, that they chased after him and they got him, V'Cholchelu Nefoitzum Elov, and the rest of the people had run away from Tzidkiyahu, and they captured him. Vayisbizu HaMelech, Vayalu Oisai HaMelech Bavel Rivlasa, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar and Rivla, Vayidavru Itai Mishpat. You have to realize, Nebuchadnezzar did not come to destroy Yerushalayim. With all of his things, Chazal tell us that Nebuchadnezzar was a special bria in the world to create the Beit HaMikdash. Every guy in the world, every Rush in the world wanted to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, but not one of them had the chutzpah or the hazas to try and do it. The Beit HaMikdash represented the Kedusha, represented the Rabban Shalom, and the Rishayim weren't interested in the whole thing. Nebuchadnezzar was the only one in the world, yes, it was his lifelong desire, Chazal say, and he was zoicha to this lifelong desire because of the covenant he gave to Hashem. Those three steps, to rule over the world and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But at the end of the day, he didn't do it himself. As we'll see soon, he didn't come to Yerushalayim. He stayed here in Rivla. He sent Nebuzaradan there. In Nebuzaradan, Rava Tabachon, as we'll see in a moment. But Nebuchadnezzar, with everything, still didn't do it himself. So they brought him there by Davri Tzai Mishpat, and he gave him a good Musar Shmuz that you rebelled against me and you were over on the Shvua. So what he told him was, so he told him, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kill you and your children. So he told him, kill me first. So he said, no. No, actually, I think he told him, I'm going to poke at your eyes and I'm going to kill your children. So he said, poke out my eyes first, I shouldn't see it. So he said, no, Adarabba, I'm going to kill your children first. He checked at his children in front of him. And then, Vezeini Tzidkiyahu Iver, and then he blinded his eyes. So this was part of Tzidkiyahu's Einish for not listening to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yeah?
Is Rivla a place? Babel?
Yeah, it's not in Babel. It's
Babel.
Right, it was on the way from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So he didn't go the whole way, Nebuchadnezzar. He left, he let Nebuchadnezzar go the rest of the way to Eretz Yisrael. He stopped in Rivla, yeah. So Vayasreyu Banachushtayim Vayaviuha. So then they tied him up in shackles and they brought him to Babel. So Tzidkiyahu got this terrible einish. Now one thing Yirmiyahu HaNavi told him is that you won't be killed at war. Since you're such a tzaddik and you saved, and since I think the Medrash says, because he saved Yirmiyahu from the pit, so he told him that you're going to die in your bed, you're going to die b'shalom. You're going to die b'shalom. The Gemara asked, "Dai b'shalom, his children were shechted l'fanav, his eyes were blinded. What's that? What's called dying b'shalom?" So Chazal say, because Nebuchadnezzar is going to die before him. When someone sees their enemies die in their life, so So there's a certain relief and peace. And he didn't die in battle. He actually died on his bed, meaning he died in a regular death. But even with all this sorrow, it's called that he was Baal B'Shalom because Nebuchadnezzar, his enemy, died B'Yamav. What?
You said it was
Arvin
said, like, I'm
going to
kill you and your children and then they said
it. Nebuchadnezzar said that. He said, I'll blind you and I'll kill your children. He wanted to be blind at first. He shouldn't see it. But he did it the opposite way, obviously. Now, in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, this is Av, the seventh of Av, Hishnas Shas Reishana LeMelech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, Bo Nebuzaradon Rav Tabochin Eved Melech Babel Yerushalayim. Nebuzaradon, the Rav Tabochin, the head butcher, because he just was very, very ruthless. He came, he's an Eved of Melech Babel, an Eved of Nebuchadnezzar, he came to Yerushalayim. Now, in Yirmiyah it says that he came Vayamayz Lifnei Melech Bavel B'Yerushalayim, and he stood in front of the Melech Bavel in Yerushalayim. And Chazal tell us, Melech Bavel B'Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't in Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar didn't come to Yerushalayim. So why did the pasuk tell us that Nebuzaradan stood in front of Melech Bavel B'Yerushalayim? So Chazal tell us that the fear Nebuzaradan had for Nebuchadnezzar was so strong that wherever he went, it was as if the Nebuchadnezzar was standing right above him and telling him, if you don't do this, wham, whatever, the end, right? So that means Vayama Lifnei Melech Bavel B'Yerushalayim. And Rebbe always says over, it's a long drasha which I can't get into, but basically he says the Klal Yisrael at that door, and this sort of finishes up the Sefer Malachim. Klai Yisrael Netzar had the Eitz Ahara d'Avodah Zarah, and that was one of the things that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, as we know. Avodah Zarah is one of the things that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, amongst other things. But years later, in the second Beis HaMikdash, when they were Mavatel, the Eitz Ahara d'Avodah Zarah, so it says that a little lion cub of fire came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they said, look, this is what burned down the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, the Eitz Ahara of Avodah Zarah was so strong, and we see this through Malachim. And Klal Yisrael could have a taina, and they could say, Rebbeinu Shem, what do you want from us? It was too hard. And the Rebbeinu Shem will say, listen, number one, I sent you my Nevi'im. But you're right, it is very hard. But there's an Eitzah. There's an Eitzah to overcome the Eitz Ahara of Avodah Zarah. I wouldn't put you in this world if you didn't have an Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? Hashem punishes Mida Kenega Mida. If you go look at the Korban, you'll see what the Eitzah could have been. We just said before, there was only one person in the world who could destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was Nebuchadnezzar. But he didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuzaradan did. How is it possible that Nebuzaradan was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Where did he find the Kayach, the Azus, the Gvura to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? It would seem that it would be an impossible job and feat for him to do. He's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's not his job. The Teretz is, say Chazal, because Nebuzaradan had something, and that is, Shivisi Nebuchadnezzar Lenegdi Tamid. He always saw Nebuchadnezzar standing over him. Wherever he went, Nebuchadnezzar was there. And even though according to the rules of Teva and who he was, perhaps it was kamat impossible for him to have the chutzpah and the gvura to try and destroy the Beit HaMikdash, but when he remembered that Nebuchadnezzar standing over him with a club, he found the gvura deep down somewhere and he did it. And this was a techacha gluya to Klal Yisrael. You said it wasn't shayach to be overcome the Eitzar Avodah Zarah. If you would have focused on Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, if you focus on the Rebbeinu Shlomo is always there standing, watching what you're doing, etc., etc., you would have found the kayach which you think was insurmountable, this Yetzer HaAvodah Zarah. And this was Techacha to Klal Yisrael. You think that it's impossible? Look, it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar, it was Nebuzaradan. But Vayamay Lifnei Melech Bava B'Yerushalayim. He stood in front of the Melech Bava. Wherever he went, it was as if he was standing in front of Melech Bava, and Melech Bava was dictating what he should do. And if you were to remember Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and you would follow the advice of the Nevi'im, you would have been able to overcome the Yetzer HaAvodah Zarah also. And therefore you can't have tainas and say that it was something, it's not our fault, it was insurmountable. from the Makkah, you're able to see what the Teichacha is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just punish. In the Makkah itself, you're able to see the Teichacha. So it was on this day, on the 7th of Av, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, by Yisref, as Beis Hashem, as Beis HaMelech, Ruzaradin burnt down the Beis Hashem and the Beis HaMelech, Beis Kolbat Yerushalayim, Beis Kol Beis Godol Sarah Fa'esh, the entire city, any big house. Big house, Chazal tell us, means shuls, Bate Knesiyos, the Megadla Behem Tairu Tvila, that the place where you Megadal, you raise Tairu and Tvila, were all destroyed. Beis Chaimis Yerushalayim Saviv, not to us call Chel Kastim Asherav Tabachim, and all the walls around Yerushalayim they smashed down. Ve'yisyaser ha'aman nisharim bihir ve'tanayflu masher naflu ala melech bovel ve'yisyaser ha'aman heglin v'zaradin raf tabachim. V'zaradin brought them into Galus. Nebuchadnezzar told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a poishet yad l'kabel shavim. Here, listen to the emuna of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a poishet yad l'kabel shavim. When you take these goyim out of Yerushalayim and you're going to march them to Babel, do not let them stop for a moment, because if they're going to stop, they're going to be mispalo to Hashem. Hashem will be mekabel their tshuva, and that's the end of us. We are going to lose. So you make sure they don't have a moment to rest. They don't have a moment to rest, and he marched them from Yerushalayim to Babel, 2 weeks straight marching. He didn't let them stop. Anyone who stopped, he chopped them down. He was riding on his chariot. He was roaring like a lion, like a wild beast, Chazal say. He got a new name after that, Aryoch. Aryoch is a lion, because he roared like a lion. And they finally, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi was going along with them, Chazal say. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they started crying. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, listen, if you would have cried when I told you to cry, you wouldn't have to cry now. Now it's a bit too late. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu HaNavi, there's a choice. Either you go into Galus with them, or I go into Galus with them. Hashem said, either you go into Galus, I'm staying here. If you want me to go into Galus with them, so you have to stay back in Yerushalayim. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi did not go into Galus with them. They decided to let the Shechina go along with them. He unfortunately had to turn his back on them, and he went back to Yerushalayim. They marched 2 weeks. When they finally got into Bavel, Al Nareis Bavel, Shom Yashavnu, Chazal say, Ad L'Shom Lo Yashavnu. We finally got to the Nareis of Bavel, Shom, there they let us sit down. Ad L'Shom, until then they didn't let us sit down. Because he didn't let them stop for a moment. If they stopped, they might daven, and that's once they're in Bavel, once they're out of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then the Golus has begun, and therefore they don't have to worry about anything anymore. But Nebuchadnezzar told Nebuchadnezzar, if you don't get them out, that's the end of you. And therefore don't let them stop. And he didn't, and they marched this death march from Yerushalayim. Forget all the people who were killed and died. So many of them died on the way. They finally came to Nareis Bavel, Shom Yashavnu. Once they were ready out of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, they went into Bavel. It's a whole different story. The Golus had begun. And that's where Yechezkel HaNavi, I forgot to look it up, but the Zohar HaKadosh, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel that I'm here with Klal Yisrael and Golus. And Klal Yisrael said, I don't remember if Yechezkel said or Klal Yisrael said, we don't believe it. Like, Hashem for sure left us, and that's the end of it. And therefore, that's why Yechezkel HaNavi had the Nevuah of the Ma'isa Merkava right then, and he was able to see clearly the Merkava of Hashem to tell Klal Yisrael and to show Klal Yisrael that Hashem, with his entire chariot and his malachim, are all here with you in Galus. Because Hashem said to the malachim, if my children are in Galus, you're coming in Galus with me too. And the whole parade of malachim and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Chazal tell us, Galu Lebavel, Galu Shechina Imam, and that's what it means. And that's what Yechezkel HaNavi was seeing. The Ma'is Merkava, the chariot of all those things, the Kadosh Baruch was coming, was over there on Nahar Bavel, it says. That was by Klal Yisrael thought, if we're in Bavel, we're done, that's the end of us. And Hashem was Menachem them through Yechezkel HaNavi, and he said, here, Hashem is in Galus with you, this is the Ma'is Merkava. One second. So that is what happened. So they all marched to Babel. What happened in Yerushalayim? Umidalas ha'aretz hishirav tabalchim lekarmim ule yayvin. He left some stragglers there, and he wanted them to work the land. Karmim, the vineyards, and yayvim are to make like irrigation ditches. There wasn't much to work with, but he left them there. The pasuk ends there, and the pasuk continues still what he burnt down Yerushalayim. There is these two gigantic pillars in the Beit Hashem, and all the bases of all the kelim. There was this big mikvah, the yom that Shlomo HaMelech had made. Shibru kast, and they broke it down. Vayisu as nechush tambavela, and they brought the nechushes to Babel. There's a sirais, there's a yom, there's a mizamris, there's a kapis, there's kolkli and nechushes as yirshosuvam lakochis. All different types of klesharis, pots and shovels and pitchforks and spoons and all different types of things. They took it. There's a machtes, there's a mizrakais, asher zov zov. The one, there were golden ones, and the ones that were silver, lokach rab tabachim, it was around and took everything. Hamudim shnayim. These were those two amudim, Hayom Echad, Ramachinas, Ashrasa Shlaim, Vet Hashem, Layamishkul, and Nechayshis, Kalakalam, Eila. If you tried away all this copper that he took, it was like an endless amount. It was like, Loy Hayamishkul, you couldn't even wait. What? Yom was like a big mikvah, like a bath. Shmain Asriyama, Kaimas, Amud Echad. This pillar was 18 amas tall, because Seres, Alav Nechayshis, and there was a crown on top. The kaimas akisera shalashama, and the crown was 3 amas tall. So what are we up to already? 18, 3, 21 amas. So I have 40 feet in the air. Usvacha v'rimayim alakisera, and there was svachas like a netting and rimayim and pomegranates on top of it, with like all a whole decoration on top of this thing. Something I call nechayshes uchaelu la'amud asheni al svacha. Those were both the same on the second pillar, the same thing. So this is all the gold, silver, nechayshes he cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Chazal tell us the klesharas that Moshe Rabbeinu had made were already hidden away. Anything Moshe Rabbeinu had made was lo'olam void, no guy ever touched it. That's why, if you remember, they hid away the Mishkan, the Krashim of the Mishkan. Anything that Moshe Rabbeinu had made was hidden away. Le'shal tubam ha'gayim, the guyim didn't have any shlita over those things. Yeah? The Midrashim said, Yeshayahu, when he heard the Nebuah, no, 40 years ago, I think, not so long ago. Vayikach Rav Tavachim Yisroya Koyin Arosh Vesefanya Koyin Mishnah Veshloish Hashem Yatsap. He took these people, Uminoir Lokach Tzoris Echad Asher Pokit Anshe Mechama Vachamisha Anshe Miroyev Pnei HaMelech Hashanim Tuvir Vetasay Vizar Tzova Matvias Amoritz Veshishimish Meamoritz Anrinsoyim Boir. He took all these officers, and the Kehanim, and Melech Bavel killed them all, and this was the Golas. There were still some stragglers left, as we said, so he made a governor over the last stragglers that he had left to work the field. Who was that? Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shaphan. Gedaliah ben Achikam was the officer. Vayishmu kalsare achayolim heima vanoshim kifkid melech babel as Gedaliah. Vayavoyo Gedaliah hamitzvah. Vayishmo ben Nisanya, Vayoichnam ben Kareach, Lusrei ben Tanchumas, Hanetafasi, Vazno ben Amafasi, heima vanshem. There were these different officers that were around, I guess, that weren't part of the Golus. And they heard that Gedaliah had become the governor. So they came to like be makabel upon him. So they were all nervous. They wanted to fight back. What are we doing here? So Gedaliah said no. He made a shvu. And he told them, he said, listen, if we listen to their orders and we stay here and follow the rules, they're not going to bother us. Shvu ba'aretz ve'ivdus melech bavel ve'itav lachem. Stay here, work the land like he wants you to do it, and finish ve'itav lachem. And then there'll be no problems. There's no reason to try to go and fight anymore. However, they got jealous here. It says, Yishmo ben Netanya thought that he should be the governor. Because he was from the Zerah HaMelucha. And since he was Zerah HaMelucha, he thought he should be in charge. So he got jealous. Chazal tell us that They tried to tell Gedalia what was that Yishmael is going to come and kill him, and he wasn't Mekabel Lashon Hara. Chazal say he was wrong, because even if you're not Mekabel it, at least you should be Chayshish, protect yourself. And by Yibachaydish Ashvi, by Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama Mizera Malucha, that's why it says Mizera Malucha, he came because he felt he was the one who should be it, Vatarana Shemitai, and he came, and Gedalia was Mekabel upon him, and was by a meal or something, they're having a meal, by Yakis, Kedalio, by Yomais, and they killed him. And anyone else who was part of his royal or whatever, part of his entourage, Gedalia, they killed. When that happened, here they went and they killed the governor that Nebuchadnezzar had appointed. That's a pretty rebellious thing to do. So Vayakumu Kalam, Yikatim Agaldo, Vasara Kayolam, Vayavim Mitzrayim, they all ran to Mitzrayim, Kiyar Mitzrayim Katim, because they were afraid, and this was it. This was the end of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So there were three steps to the Golas. There was the Golas of Yahyakim, Hanani Mishal Vazari Daniel came along. A couple months later was the Golas of Yahyakim, which was 10,000 of people with the Charesh and the Masker. 11 years later, we call it Golas Tzidkiyo. That's the final Golas of the Churban. Then, not much later, Gedalia was around for a little bit, and then he was killed, and that was really the end, and that's why we have time Gedalia also, because that was really the Makkah B'Patish, the last strike of the end of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Vayhi b'shalayshim b'sheva shanu l'golus Yahyakim melech Yehuda. 37 years since Yahyakim has come to Babel. Yahyakim came to Babel 11 years before the Churban. Right, we didn't say what happened to him. So he went to Babel, 37 years into his galus. Bishnei Matzor Chaydesh, Be'asim Meshiva L'Chaydesh, Nasa Evel Meroidach Melech Babel, Bishnas Malchay Esroi Shayachim Melech Yehuda Beit Kalah. He was in jail for 37 years in Babel, Yahyachim, the king of Yehuda, Yahyachim. So, who was this? Evel Meroidach Melech Babel was the king, and he took him out of jail. And he spoke to him, he gave him a prominent place there. He took him out of his prisoner clothing. And he remained there the rest of his life, and he was fed by the king, but the king gave him only one meal. He gave him his meals just for that day. He never gave him a head, because he wanted him to show that you're still dependent on me, and you still have to come on to me for anything that you need. So, at the end, then wasn't so bad, Yahyakim. He finally got out of jail. I mean, 37 years being a king in jail is probably not so much fun. And even after that, since he was free, he was still a prisoner, not like in jail. Tzidkiyo HaMelech, he died after the Nebuchadnezzar also, like we said. He died al Mitasai. Now, it's just interesting to note here, because over here it says that it was on the 27th day of the 12th month. In Yirmiyah it says that it was on the 25th day. So Chazal say that Nebuchadnezzar died on the 25th, was buried on the 26th, but on the 27th day, his son, Evel Meroidach, this next king, took him out of his kever. He took Nebuchadnezzar out of his kever because he wanted to make sure he was really dead. Because there was a story once before earlier that they thought Nebuchadnezzar was dead, and he became the king, his son, and then Nebuchadnezzar came back and he started killing everybody. They thought it was the end of Nebuchadnezzar, but it really wasn't. So therefore, even though they buried him on day number 26 of the month, on day number 27, they want to make sure he's still in there and he's still dead, so they took him out, and that's why it says finally, on day number 27, when he was really dead, everyone knew he was dead, so then Evel Meroidach felt that he could take Yahyakim out of his captivity, and let him to be at least partially free. And that is the end of Sefer Halacha.
And Jacob's son
talking
out of checking
for a lot.
Right.
Okay.
But the problem is that
in Hanukkah,
is that the
committee turns to Hanukkah? Yeah, that's part of that. That's all the Midrash. Okay, now, it seems that we're going to have the final on Tuesday. That's the consensus of opinion. Malachim, instead of whatever, Shiradas, whatever it's supposed to be. Okay, now the question is what the final should be, huh? I think the final should be from Perek Yud-Ches.
What?
Perek Yud-Ches, the beginning of Chizkiya. Just after that.
The thinking about your question.